Peter Witham, A Symphonic Glimpse. The Bournemouth Symphony Orchestra has been giving concerts since its beginnings in 1893. It has grown over the last century, and today it gives upwards of 130 concerts a year. The BSO has a proud heritage of principal conductors, from Sir Dan Godfrey, Constantine Silvestri, Sir Charles Groves, Rudolf Schwartz and Andrew Lytton to Marion Alsop. Peter Witham has been with the orchestra for 29 years, and today he is leading the second violin. In today's show, we'll get up close and personal with the man, the music, the violin.
Are you doing a sound test?
Oh, no problem.
Are you ready?
That's great. Yeah.
Ready whenever you are.
Well, I'm going to play a little bit of an unaccompanied suite by Johann Sebastian Bach. It's the Bore. But if you can make it, and not a lot do make it, it's tremendously satisfying. After all, how many people get applauded for every day's work? We go home with the sound of applause in our ears. We're very special. No one knows what to make of us. It's what's so wonderful. The Queen will speak to us. The Tramp will speak to us. And no one understands the artists. They're all a bit in awe of us. They'd all like to be an artist, but they can't be. They're probably earning hundreds of times more than we are. Something that I can never forget is back in 1976, and one of our concerts was in the most northerly concert hall in the world. That's a place called Rovaniemi in northern Finland. And we played to these Finnish people up there, and they're very emotional about their own music. We played one of his symphonies, which ended the program. And at the end, people just sat in their chairs and they were crying, and we left the platform. And they were still there, and we went to speak to them afterwards. They were just overcome with emotion. And this was very interesting, because shortly after that, we went across by boat to Estonia, to the capital, Tallinn. And there, the place was full of students. They were literally hanging from the chandeliers to be in the concert. And these were people who were denied a lot of freedom. And the atmosphere was just electric. I joined in 1969, and we had no conductors for 2 years. And then we had Paavo Berglund from Finland. He was a wonderful conductor and took us twice to Finland. And then we came to the next conductor, who was Yakov Kreutzberg from Russia, and he's just been taken over by our first lady principal conductor. She is the first full-time lady principal conductor of an orchestra in the whole world. When I joined in the orchestra, I sat with a man called Bob Coleman, and he was terribly, terribly relaxed, and he was very philosophical about everything. Nothing worried him. And I used to wonder why. And it was because he had such horrendous experiences in the war. And he landed in Greece, and he was the only one left out of his battalion. And then he swam out to sea, and he got a lift. And he was dropped by parachute onto Crete as the Germans were arriving to. And then he had to swim out to boats to get over to North Africa. And he had such horrendous experiences that, I mean, he wasn't worried. He said, "Oh, it doesn't matter, Pete." He would say, "He'll be, if you don't like the conductor, he'll be gone next week." He didn't say it as politely as that. He said, "The man will be gone next week." But I think most of them, they all had a different sort of time. They were brought up with a different sort of ethos of, and you see pictures of them all in their dark suits, smoking pipes and cigars. And they more tell sort of naughty things, like how someone said he was ill, and then the general manager saw them on television playing with another orchestra in London, and then they were invited to come to the office and told goodbye, you know. That's a sort of silly story. Or a double bass player falling asleep and going forward and smashing his double bass on the floor. There's a famous story one of them tells about with Beecham. He had a very bad cough, and the viola player who was in our orchestra, he reached in his pocket and said, "There you are, Sir Thomas, have a peppermint." And so he ate the peppermint. Afterwards he said, "It did the trick, but it had a very strange taste." He said, "I'm not surprised, because it's been to the cleaners five times. The mint has been to the cleaners five times." So silly things like that. I think the most important thing is that when they stand in front of you with their baton, you can believe in them artistically. If you don't believe or feel their musicianship, it's a non-starter. Then you need humility. Not many of them have humility. Quite a lot have arrogance. And occasionally, then of course we get those who think they are God. In their own little minds, they are God, and they don't give you any credit for anything. I started the violin when I was 9, by accident. And some I liked music, and I played the recorder, and I used to write tunes and things. And my parents both played the piano, and my mother's mother was a concert pianist until she broke her arm. So there's music somewhere in the family, sort of dotted around. And someone came to my school, and a letter was passed around saying, "Mr. Squire will be having class lessons." Mr. Squire, William Squire, and he will have lessons on Friday mornings if anyone wants to come. And so I thought, great, I'd rather do violin than school lessons. That was my reason for going. So I went along, and things happen. You like with any sport or any lesson, you feel you have a natural aptitude, and you go faster than anybody else. You can take it in and learn it much faster, and you're eager to get further on. I didn't really mix particularly, and although it was the 60s and hip time. What I was doing was going to concerts almost every day of the week, year after year, from when I was very young. Why was I here? Why have I stayed so long? Well, I didn't intend to. And 6 months after I joined, I met a young lady, and I thought, this is even finer. And as things happen, you sort of think, oh, well, I'll go elsewhere. And I did actually try. I did an audition for the Sadler's Wells in London, and I did an audition for Liverpool, and the BBC Symphony Orchestra was the main one I wanted to get to. But I wasn't successful. And so I began to accept the fact that it wasn't so bad in Bournemouth after all. It's a lovely place to live. My violin is not an expensive violin. It's a violin which I was very fortunate in finding in 1984, and I fell in love with it immediately. You should never play a violin or an instrument, and particularly a stringed instrument, unless you fall in love with it. You may not feel very well, but he has to be dragged out of his violin case and played, so it has to be a very special quality. When people hear it, they think it's worth tens of thousands of pounds. But it's not. It's just a very, very special violin with a beautiful, beautiful sound that I love. People like the cello more than the violin in the main. Everyone says, I love the cello, because it is a bigger instrument, has more resonance. It's always sounds better and bigger and more beautiful than the violin. It's just one of those things. I think to make a beautiful sound than a violin is a real achievement, because it is harder, because it is smaller and shriller and higher, like a piccolo. It's difficult to make a beautiful sound on a piccolo, but when it's played well, it's superb. ¶¶ sitting at the front. And for the last 3.5 years, I've led the second violins. That, for me, was a great achievement. And I auditioned 5 times to get to the front. And that took a lot of nerve, I think. Because in the main, musicians and no one thanks you in this business. You play wonderfully and no one says anything. So it's really nice when you do play and your friends say, that was good, that sounded really fantastic. It's a very hard profession. It's utterly disciplined. It is like nothing else. It is as exhausting as Grand Prix racing or flying a jet. I hope that I can play as well as I am now until I leave the orchestra. I hope I don't leave because I have to, because I'm failing in my ability.
That was produced by City's Dream Piece Productions, 2002.